Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Colorado Avalanche beat writer for Colorado Hockey Now, podcaster for Mile High Sports, coming to you late Saturday night after yet another loss for the Colorado Avalanche, yet another 5-2 loss, I should say, for the Colorado Avalanche, falling to 5-7 after losing to the Nashville Predators. And there's a lot to break down in this game, and I want to start off the top because this has been my favorite thing to cover over the last day or so. And if you're familiar with my writing and if you're following along at Colorado Hockey Now, and I guess if you're not, you should be. I'd love to have you around. But most exciting or favorite story that I've had to cover over the last 24 to 48 hours has been Nikita Pristupov, who the Avalanche drafted 217th overall in the 2024 draft at the Sphere in Vegas four months and 1 week ago. Only eight guys were taken after him. 216 guys were taken before him. Of the other 224 guys, only two others have played in the NHL this year. Number one pick, Macklin Celebrini, and number 13, Jet Luchenko. For the Philadelphia Flyers, Celebrini's injured. He scored in his debut and hasn't played since. He should be back soon. Luchenko's already been sent back to the OHL's Guelph Storm. Obviously, Pristupov, an overager, is in a bit of a unique situation, having the opportunity to play in the American Hockey League because he is 20 years old. And given that reason, the Avalanche were able to call him up and use him pretty quickly. But I remember at the Sphere when his name appeared on the screen, which, you know, you guys have probably all seen the pictures, that light blue NHL draft board that the Avalanche had. It was still one of the coolest events I've ever covered. And I remember sitting with the other, or standing, I should say, with the other Avalanche media. And when his name appeared, I made some kind of joke about, oh, well, we're never going to learn how to spell that name because we're never going to need to, because these guys are probably not going to play. And I was referring to him, plus the entire seventh round board. Obviously, I'm making a joke, no disrespect to any of the guys that were taken. But the reality is, seventh rounders don't often make it to the NHL. In fact, the 2021, 2022, and 2023 drafts have yet to have a seventh rounder make their NHL debut. And the only reason why the 2024 one does is because of, one, Nikita Pristupov. So if there's 31/32 teams picking, obviously 31 because it was before Seattle, picking in the last four drafts, that's over 120 guys selected in the seventh round over the last 4 years, and only one of them has played in the NHL, and it's Nikita Pristupov. So I remember making that joke and thinking, we're never going to have to learn this guy's name because he's probably not going to do anything. And boy, was I wrong. Again, 4 months and 1 week later, Pristupov plays. And not only does he play, but he looks pretty damn good. He kind of reminded me of Callum Ritchie in some of the games where you can, like, you know, obviously we saw Ritchie in the experiment that he had this year with the Avalanche and the short stint that he had before getting sent down. We saw some of the games where it was like, yeah, this guy's not really ready for the NHL. And you can kind of see the writing on the wall. He's probably going to get sent down. He's probably going to dominate in the Ontario Hockey League again. He's probably going to play for Team Canada at the World Juniors and be on their top line as the number one center. But then there were other games where you look at him and you're like, man, Richie's got a lot of confidence. He really kind of looks like he's going to figure this thing out. He's going to be an NHL player in the future. And what we're seeing are flashes of the brilliance and the skill set that he has. That's what I saw from Pristupov today. You know, obviously, for Richie, I believe it was seven games that he played, there were ample opportunities for him to have bad games and for him to have good games. Pristupov, it's just the one game. I don't expect, if he plays five or six games, which I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, if he plays a handful of games, I don't expect every game to go this well, especially at the start. And I'd be surprised if it did, because it's a learning curve. The NHL is not an easy league to crack, and especially not for a player who's kind of taken it by storm like this as a seventh rounder. But what I saw against the Nashville Predators was a player with confidence and a player that looked like he kind of had this thing figured out. You know, there were some growing pains, but this is a guy that he had three solid opportunities to score. And in a game where the Avalanche ended up losing 3-2 and giving up two empty netters to lose 5-2, in a game where it was 1-1 for the majority of it, in a game where Colorado scored the first goal and could have added to it to, like, you know, build a little bit of a comfortable cushion and a two-goal lead, one of his goals could have been the world of difference for this team. You know, this isn't Colorado's down, I don't know, 4-1 at Tampa Bay and he scores with a minute left or he has an opportunity with a minute left. No, like his goal could have legitimately made a difference today. He had three solid opportunities but couldn't beat UC Saros. There was one that was poke checked away from him. There was one he was stopped by the pad and there was another one where he was right there on the doorstep but couldn't get it. But my favorite part about all three of those, they were all in and around the crease. He had zero fear getting into the dirty areas. Didn't hesitate at all to get into those spots. And 6'1", 194 pounds, uses his frame. Uses his frame and plays like a guy who isn't afraid to get into those areas. Again, this is the kind of game that Nikolai Kovalenko plays and why I think he's going to be a keeper in the NHL for a while. But Prishabov's 4 years younger. He's never played pro hockey. Kovalenko did in the KHL for several seasons. He's coming here more polished. Prishabov looked pretty damn good. He threw his body around. I forget who it was that he stapled against the boards with a clean hit. But man, everything about the way that that kid played today. You know, I'm not overhyping this to the point where it's like, this is a top 12 forward. He's got to stay in the lineup. But no, what I saw from Prishabov today was a guy that showed he's going to be back in the NHL. He might play on Tuesday. I mean, the reality is he's probably gonna. Because if the Avalanche only get one guy back and it's Artturi Lehkonen, I'm going to go ahead and assume the one who's going to get scratched would be the defenseman in Oliver Shillington, who's playing forward, not Nikita Prishabov. Granted, Shillington looked better today than he did against Tampa, but you know that was pretty much a low bar to get over. So, but yeah, I would assume unless one of Drouin or Wood are also ready, that Lekkonen's going to come in, Shillington's going to sit, and Prishapov's going to play another game and get another opportunity and to do it on home ice. So I really liked what he brought. I'm not going to overhype it to the point where I think he's going to stick around all year, but I am going to say that what I saw today kind of reminded me of what I saw in training camp, which is that this is a player that legitimately might be a guy. He might be a guy that plays NHL games. Is he going to be a middle six guy? Is he going to be a top line stud? Is he going to be a fourth liner? I don't know. We'll figure that out together as we watch him and see him grow and develop. But any type of capable and useful player that he could become, getting drafted 217th overall, is a win in my eyes. And I genuinely feel, you know, after one game, again, it's crazy to kind of make this kind of a conclusion, but after one game, I saw a guy who looks like he's going to grow, he's going to develop, and he's going to be a player in the NHL. Now, let me shift from the good to everything else. The Avalanche lost again. They didn't look great, at least not at the end. It was a very winnable game, but they got beat by a better goalie in UC Saros. But God, was that a frustrating game to watch, because you saw the Avalanche dominate for stretches in the first period and get the opportunities, and they were moving the puck well and they were getting all these chances. And UC Saros was making the saves, and he's one of the best goalies in the NHL. But the thing is, he was kind of all over the place. It was an unconventional game for him. It was kind of, I wrote about it in my good and bad on ColoradoHockeyNow.com, and I called it like a poor man's Dominic Hasek. Because Dominic Hasek made a career, made a Hall of Fame career, made a top three goalies ever career out of flopping around the crease and playing this unconventional style, but it worked. He perfected it. Saros did that against the Avalanche, and I don't even think it was on purpose. The dude was battling rebounds. He was struggling to find the puck at times. Puck luck, puck luck, puck luck. There was that puck that bounced over his shoulders, and then Philip Forsberg sweeps it off the goal line. His post saved him quite a few times. Every time he lost the puck, he lost the rebounds and couldn't control his rebounds. He found a way to make the save. No matter how it happens, it happened. UC Saros played well. Is it the type of game that he's going to watch the film for? Probably not. But it's the type of game to say, you know what? I gave my team a chance to get back into it after letting in that first goal to Cale Makar. God, what a shot that was. And my team did get back into it because Steven Stamkos scored on the power play on a shot that hits UC Saros' glove and then goes over and, or sorry, Justus Annunen's glove and then goes over, and man, that's the type of shot, that's the type of goal that you want your goalie to have, and I'm sure Justus wanted that one back too. But then Colton Sisson scores, and then suddenly it's 3-1. So he gave his team a chance. He did what he had to do in a very unconventional type of game, and the Avalanche's goalie, despite him playing pretty decent, or not decent, but, you know, despite him being okay, he was outplayed. And UC Saros played better, and that's why the Nashville Predators won. Obviously, like I said, there was a lot of puck luck. The bounces weren't going their way. Kale McCarr said it after the game, if you were watching Altitude TV. Eventually, the bounces are going to go their way. Mikko Rantanen hit a post or a crossbar, was robbed once or twice by two saves that were not unconventional, that were strong saves from UC Saros. That's a guy who, you know, we're 12 games into the season, and Rantanen has 4 goals. Only thing to remember with Rantanen's 4 goals is he had a hat trick opening night. He's got 1 goal since. Obviously, he also has, I think it's 10 assists since then. So 1 goal and 10 assists in the last 11 games or something along those lines. But he's only got 1 goal. And tonight looked like the game where he was finally going to break out, and he just couldn't do it. And you gotta be scared if you're the Seattle Kraken, because Mikko is right freaking there, and goal scorers are streaky as can be. If Mikko can finally get one to go, not hit the post, not get robbed against the Seattle Kraken, Lord help them, because he might have 2 or 3 that game. Nathan MacKinnon, again, can't score 5-on-5, scores 6-on-5. Also, puck luck. Nikita Prishapov, I already touched on him, you know, 2 or 3 golden opportunities where he really could have had it. Ivan was robbed once on the power play. You know, a lot of opportunities. The difference, again, UC Saros was the guy that changed things for this team. For that team, I should say, for Nashville. The other frustrating part that I had from this game is you look at the goal scorers for the Nashville Predators. Philip Forsberg and Gustav Nyquist scored on the empty net. Sure. Okay, that's fine. But Steven Stamkos, Colton Sissons, and Roman Josi. Roman Josi, we know, all-star defenseman, potentially a future Hall of Fame defenseman, Norris Trophy winner, is a guy that had struggled to score to start the year and finally finds the back of the net for his first goal. Colton Sissons, and as I talk about him, I'm going to pull this up because I would love to know. Colton Sissons' career stats against the Colorado Avalanche. Colton Sissons didn't have a goal or an assist this entire season. Colton Sissons has scored a hat trick against the Avalanche. He has a 2-goal game against the Avalanche. He scores a lot against the Avs. 9 goals, 9 assists, 18 points. For a guy who's not really a huge point producer. Finally scores his first goal, gets his first point, of course, against the Colorado Avalanche. He's now played 11 games this season. He's got 1 goal and 0 assists. Again, this is a guy whose career high is 35 points. He only has 200 career points, and nearly 10% of them are against the Colorado Avalanche. He's played 628 games. He hasn't played 10% of those games against the Colorado Avalanche. So Roman Josi gets his first goal. Colton Sissons gets his first goal. Steven Stamkos has had 1 goal coming into this year and has struggled. And it's fine. I think he's going to find his game. He had 2 assists against the Nashville Predators to go up to 3 points. And then he had a goal and assist tonight to go up to 5 points. He's starting to find his footing. That team, it's well documented. Jonathan Marchessault, Steven Stamkos, Brady Shea, they lose Ryan McDonagh. They had all of these powerful big names to the locker room that left their organizations after being there for a long time, for all of them. And it's going to take a little bit of time to find their footing and to find the chemistry. But Stamkos came into the game with 1 goal. So Stamkos, Josi, and Sissons, the 3 guys that got the goals on Eustace Annan and not the empty netter, they came into the game with 1 goal combined. They quadrupled that total today. So if those guys were just not getting the bounces, and I can't say for sure because I haven't watched all the national games, obviously, but if those guys were not getting their bounces and then finally started to get their bounces against the Avalanche, if you're Mikko Rantanen and you're looking and you're going, man, the next game is mine. This is ripe for the taking. I'm going all in on this. So that part was a little bit frustrating as well. Looking ahead, obviously, or before I look ahead, actually, Kale McCarr and Nathan MacKinnon, what else can be said? Season opening, 12-game point streaks for the both of them. MacKinnon, it's kind of funny. He hasn't scored at 5-on-5 yet, and we're all looking at it like, man, this guy's got to figure it out at some friggin' point, right? Like, that's going to happen, I think, right? But he's got 20 points. And Kale McCarr's got 21. They both had a goal and an assist. Taves and Mittelstadt had the other 2 points for the Avalanche on their 2 goals. So right now in the NHL, you got four guys at 20 points. You got Kirill Kaprizov at 21, Sam Reinhardt at 21, Cale Makar at 21, Nathan MacKinnon at 20. Shout out to both those guys. Season opening, 12-game point streaks. For Kaprizov, he's only played 10 games. Just what a freaking year for that kid. 7 goals, 14 assists in 10 games. Unbelievable. The Minnesota Wild are a great team. Who would have thought? Sam Reinhardt's played 13 games and has as many points as Makar and one more than MacKinnon. And then obviously MacKinnon has played the 12 games. One last stat I want to point out before I look ahead. Cale Makar is a -8. Nathan MacKinnon is a -6. And I hate looking at those stats. I know plus minus isn't the end all be all by any means. But the Avalanche have let in 9 empty net goals this season. They let in 2 tonight. They've only lost 7 games. Last year in 82 games, they let in 13 empty net goals. They're already at 9 this year. Frustrating as hell. And Makar and MacKinnon have been on the ice for all those. So they're a -8 and a -6 respectively. A lot of empty net goals against the Avalanche. It's turning 3-2 games into 5-2. And the Vegas game, obviously, 8-4 because of it. The Islanders game, 6-2 because of it. Columbus also had an empty netter. Just frustrating to see the Avalanche always needing to pull their goalie. And then even when they do score, like MacKinnon tonight on the 6-on-5 attack to make it 3-2, they still end up giving up 1 or 2 empty net goals after that. Now for real. Looking ahead, and I will interrupt myself one more time. MacKinnon, Makar, 10 power play points each, lead the NHL. Next best is 8. But seriously, let's look ahead. The Seattle Kraken come into town on Tuesday. And so the Avalanche have another 2 days off, just like they had 2 days off between the Tampa Bay game and the Nashville game. The Kraken are in town on Tuesday. Arturi Lehkonen, who made the road trip and was in Nashville, took part in morning skate in the Avalanche. And head coach Jared Bednar said after the Lightning game that they're aiming for a Tuesday return. The expectation is Lehkonen will play on Tuesday. Huge if true. The Avalanche need this guy. They need all these guys. They need him. They need Miles Wood, and they need Jonathan Drouin. Those are the three guys that are the closest to returning. Shortly after them will be Val Nichushkin. Then you're only worrying about Ross Colton, 6 to 8 weeks. And Gabe Landeskog, who the hell knows when. So that'll be a big game. After the Seattle Kraken on November 5th, they play on the 7th, the 9th, the 11th, the 13th, the 15th. The last four games are all at home. The first one, the game on Thursday of next week, against the Winnipeg Jets at 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time on the road. That's going to be a tough one. Before coming home to play Carolina, these very same Nashville Predators, the LA Kings, and the Washington Capitals. This is going to be a tough six-game stretch. Seattle Kraken might be the easiest of the bunch. And you've beaten them already once, but you're 2-5 at home at Ball Arena, where last year you lost 9 regulation games and 10 total. You already have 5 losses in regulation this year. So looking ahead, if the Avalanche could get Arturi Lehkonen back, he's probably going to be a little rusty. But even so, just getting those guys back is going to motivate this team. I'm excited to see Pryshchapov up front and, you know, close up and live. You know, obviously I'm not in Nashville tonight. So it'll be exciting to watch him play again if that is the case and if he does get another game. So with that, we're going to put an end to the show here. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little hearts. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter/X @RunRightArif. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out ya.